With still 16 months to go until November 2022 elections, Senator Chang Diaz's gubernatorial announcement has opened the door for a political battle. Welcome back into the show. I'm Dara Kennedy. Vacating her seat in the historically Black district she has served since 2009 opens up the push to seat a Black member in the Massachusetts Senate for the first time since 2018. As some districts see a rise in diverse representation, Chang Diaz joining the race for CEO of the state could also split a very important vote at the polls. And this, of course, is before Attorney General Maura Healey decides whether or not to join the race.
I'm Maya Schwader. The senator has a somewhat non-traditional background for a politician. Rather than law school and political internships, she was a public school teacher, a campaigner for LGBT civil rights, and even worked at the Massachusetts Budget and Policy Center before she became the first Latina elected to the Senate. We wanted to know, why did she think she should be the next governor of Massachusetts?
I feel urgently that we need a state government that tackles the systemic problems that working families in Massachusetts are experiencing with the same determination and the same level of action that the families have to live those problems every day. And, you know, I've been serving in the state Senate for 12 years, and I've really just become tired of waiting for government to live up to our hopes and to our families' needs. I've demonstrated over that 12 years a record and an ability to put together coalitions to make things that people on Beacon Hill said were impossible the law. And the governor's office is a huge piece of the puzzle, right, for really putting in place those systemic changes that working families need. And so I want to do that greater good on the next level.
We're at an interesting moment wherein, for example, in the governor's race so far, two of the candidates are women of color. In the Boston mayor's race, most of the front runners are women of color. What do you think that says about the political, equitable times that we're in Massachusetts?
It's a long overdue change, right? I remember when I first got started in this job representing the city of Boston in the Senate, that there were only two women of color in the Boston delegation of elected officials, right? Myself and Ayanna Presley on the Boston City Council. So it is both a source of joy for me to see the change that has happened in that decade plus, but also a source of frustration, right? It shouldn't have taken this long. And it is still, you know, our numbers are still too low. I'm one of two people of color in the Senate, and only just now two, right? We had some years where I was the only one, and that's lonely work. And these are perspectives that we need to have at all levels of government and at all tables of power, to have people at the table who have lived those problems, who break bread with people who live those problems, and that we have the perspectives at the table to inform the right solutions.
What are some of the issues that stand out to you most that you want to try and correct if you get into the office?
For me, the common thread across the issues that I want to prioritize and that I think it's most important that government really focus itself on is infrastructure building for to solve the problems that we need to solve so that working families can pay attention to the things that they want and need to pay attention to, right, to support their families, to contribute to their communities. And when I say infrastructure, I mean both physical infrastructure and human infrastructure, right? If you are working for years and years and years and busting your butt and never getting a raise relative to inflation, you are going to have a really hard time, right, doing right by your family and contributing to your community. If you're sitting in traffic for hours on end every week and you cannot get home to help your kids with their homework, if your children are, working for years to earn their degree and then they graduate with decades worth of debt on their backs, these are all structural problems that no one family can solve themselves. And that's what I want government to focus on.
You were the chair of the education committee. You are also a former teacher. Tell us about your education plan. What would be your first move if you reach the executive?
Well, so first order of business is that we need to have discipline and follow through when it comes to implementing the Student Opportunity Act, which was a landmark law that got passed into law in late 2019. And this was something that I and others worked for five plus years to get done on Beacon Hill, and had to cut through a lot of foot dragging and a lot of downsizing in order to get that reform to be, you know, the right sized and data driven for what it is going to take to close opportunity and achievement gaps in Massachusetts. So follow through on implementing that law, which is commits $1.5 billion with a B in new funding to our K-12 education system and most targeted towards low-income districts. And that's gonna, we're on a 7-year phase-in process. And we've already seen in the first year or two that the Baker-Polito administration has not done what the law calls for in terms of implementing it with fidelity. And so making sure that we do that is gonna be first order of business. We also need to expand what we define as public education, right? And again, be data-driven here in acknowledgement of the vast body of evidence that points us to the fact that investments that we make in the early education years are enormously impactful investments, and make sure that we need to have a universally accessible, high-quality early education in Massachusetts, both for its educational returns and for its economic development returns, right? We've seen this in full force over the last year in the pandemic with the She session, right? That when we do not have adequate supply of quality childcare in early education, it cripples everything else in the economy. And then higher education, of course, needs to be a big piece of the puzzle in making sure that young people do not have to carry, you know, decades worth of debt after they get their degree.
You mentioned the pandemic. Let's stick with that for a moment. You have criticized Governor Baker's response to COVID. If you were in that office during the pandemic over the last year, how would you have done better?
Just recognizing right out of the gate in March, right, as many of us did and many of us urged the administration to do, to learn, to not have to relearn the lessons that the country saw in full force during Hurricane Katrina and so many other natural disasters, right, that whenever a national, you know, if the state catches a cold, that communities of color and low-income communities are going to catch the flu, and just, you know, putting in place all of the responses that you would need to do proactively in order to mitigate that. I'll give, you know, one very specific example. If you fast forward to the fall of 2020, when it became clear that vaccines were coming, starting to do the work at that point, right, to prepare the communications campaign and the access, the issues around access, transportation access, digital access, right, for people to sign up for vaccines, to get information about vaccines in order to cure, you know, reservations that people might have had about the science, so that we would be ready when the first vial hit Massachusetts to be able to accomplish vaccine equity in our state, so that we could at least not, you know, replicate the same problems in our vaccine rollout that we experienced with infection rates and hospitalization rates. The Baker-Polito administration did not do that, despite, you know, many people encouraging them to do so, until January, February, right, when it became a huge, you know, a scandal, right, in full public sight, that the vaccination rates were so differential between white-based aiders and Black and brown-based aiders. And it's been, you know, just a process of having to push the administration every month, right, to do that implementation work. And even now, still pushing the administration to articulate clear goals, just goals, right, for what does it mean to achieve vaccine equity.
If you're just joining us on And Another Thing, today we're having our in-depth conversation with Senator Sonia Chang-Diaz. She recently threw her hat into the ring for the Democratic primary in the 2022 governor's race. The senator is the daughter of an immigrant, and we continued our conversation touching on the strong stances she's taken in the past regarding immigration issues. A few sessions ago, I believe it was, you spoke out against a bill that was put before the Senate that would restrict the access that undocumented immigrants were getting to benefits like Medicaid, Medicare. You had said that since it was only unveiled minutes before the vote happened, that this was shameful. Would you then support expanding those sort of benefits to people who are undocumented?
Well, look, I mean, there are many things that we need to do in Massachusetts already that are already proposals in the pipeline to acknowledge our immigrant brothers and sisters in Massachusetts as contributing members to our economy and our society, which they absolutely are, you know, and it pains me that we even have to say that, right, and reinforce that fact. If my memory is serving, right, I think the amendment that and good for you for the research you put into this, but if memory serves, the amendment that you're talking about I think one of the things that made me so frustrated about that amendment is that it was one that was designed for sort of political red meat and was not actually based in fact, when in fact, most public assistance and safety net programs in Massachusetts are not accessible to undocumented immigrants in Massachusetts. And the amendment sort of purported that they were, right? And that we were going to ban this thing that in fact already did not exist in Massachusetts. That sort of making of political hay with our, you know, using immigrants as a political football is something that I really object to. But look, for starters, what we do need to do in Massachusetts, just, you know, right off the bat, in acknowledgement of the incredible heroic role that so many undocumented workers played over this past year of pandemic, right? As frontline workers, food service workers, nursing home staff members, we would not have gotten through this pandemic were it not for the labor of many, many undocumented people, and saying, look, we are going to follow the policy that many other states in the nation have done and allow undocumented members of our Massachusetts society to access driver's licenses so they can get safely to and from work where they have been serving the Commonwealth for the past year, safely to and from their doctor's appointments, is just that's a basic thing that we can do for starters to do right by immigrants in Massachusetts.
Our conversation with Senator Sonia Chang Diaz will continue with what economic measure she thinks needs to be in place for Western Massachusetts to prosper after the break.
China's economic expansion isn't just about state enterprises.
Private activity has steadily expanded over the last 40 or 50 years.
I'm Rima Reis, a closer look at the enterprises driving the economy. Next time on Marketplace.
Stay tuned for Marketplace, which is just ahead at 6:30, followed by Fresh Air at 7 and Jazz a la Mode at 8 on New England Public Media. And another thing on NEPM is funded by you and Eversource, providing home energy assessments, energy saving products, and custom recommendations to help save money and energy. More information at eversource.com. You're listening to New England Public Media.
At the moment, there are a handful of candidates in the race to become the next governor of Massachusetts. You're listening to And Another Thing. With Maya Schrader, I'm Dara Kennedy. Three prospects garnering the most attention are Latina, an African-American woman, and a white man. Aside from former 10-year state senator Ben Downing, the women come from Boston. So what will Chang Diaz do for the western part of the state? We ask her how she would tackle the pressing issues in the area. Western Massachusetts has its own set of issues. Food insecurities were high among children pre-pandemic. The economic struggles are at the top of the state post-pandemic. How would you propose to come in and help Western Massachusetts get back on their feet?
Well, okay, so this is something where folks in Western Massachusetts, I think, will be familiar with the HIP program, the Healthy Incentives Program, which I think is a great marriage of common interests between urban and rural communities, right? Where in urban communities, we have food deserts, and in rural communities, we have farmers who, you know, want and need to find markets for their goods, and where the state can really provide a connective tissue between the two and sort of feed two birds with one hand, if you will. So that's one example of something that we can do both to directly get at food insecurity, right? Whether it's in urban or suburban or rural communities, but also do the economic development and the wealth building for farmers in Western Massachusetts so that, you know, if you're making enough money to survive, you're not going to be food insecure. Another is, and this is something that is, you know, just fresh in my mind from hearings that we've recently had before the Committee on Cannabis Policy. There are a lot of farmers out in Western Massachusetts who are sitting on crops, sitting on harvest of hemp products that cannot be sold in Massachusetts. It's a really simple thing that we could do to change our regulations and our laws in Massachusetts to make hemp more marketable here so that our farmers can sell, you know, we have farmers in other states that can sell their hemp products into Massachusetts, but not our local Massachusetts farmers. That's crazy.
Can I just follow up on that? It's also Springfield, particularly, is also one of the highest, fastest growing Latino communities. Sometimes there might be struggles in terms of who to vote for. How do you tell them, besides you being Hispanic, I am here for you and I will not forget you?
Mm-hmm. Well, sorry, one other thing, Dara, if I might, I want to just add on, on the issue of food insecurity, I think, which really is a sort of a manifestation of economic injustice and economic security writ large, is transportation policy, right? It, you know, transportation policy is such a big lever, particularly in Western Mass, for opening up economic opportunity for folks. So that might be, that could be, you know, a whole host of things ranging from adequate funding for regional transit authorities to east-west rail to regional transit hubs so that we're building local economies and not just, you know, the attachment between, you know, Boston and other parts of the state. So I want to make sure that I get in there because that is a hugely important lever. Next question was about connecting with Latinx voters.
Yes, because they're the fastest growing community.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, this has been a huge part of my work as a senator for the past 12 years. And up until recently, the only Latina or Latino member of the legislature. I'm thrilled to have Adam Gomez now as my brother in service in the Senate. It has been phenomenal having him, and then there were two, right? And have a team with him. But this has been the stuff of my work for the past 12 years. And it's not just that I'm not just focused on Latinx voters, but recognizing that the struggles that they face in Boston are the same struggles in most cases that the Latino community in Holyoke is experiencing, and Lawrence and Revere and, you know, Fall River and New Bedford, you name it, right across the Springfield. And so there's common cause that we have been able to make with each other across these regions.
You mentioned economic injustices. So let's talk about taxes for a second. Yeah. You came out very strongly in support of the millionaire tax constitutional amendment. Mm-hmm. You have also supported raising income taxes to fund education. Is it possible that under a Governor Cheng Diaz, Massachusetts residents might be looking at higher taxes?
Well, so the millionaire's tax, you know, that's something I strongly support, and a huge swath of Bay Staters also support. So I do hope that that is something that we're going to see become law in 2022 by the ballot initiative. And I think people just really intuitively recognize the outrageous injustice that when you see millionaires and billionaires in our state paying little to no taxes in some cases, when you and I are paying, you know, we are carrying that share of maintaining our basic public institutions of schools and transportation systems. That is patently unfair and wrong. So yes, I do support righting that wrong. I have also, you're right, in the past filed legislation that is a similar outcome, although a different mechanism to the millionaire's tax. It would have raised income taxes, but also raised the standard deduction for families so that, you know, folks can't see on the radio the hand motions that I'm making here, but it would make it so that working families, low and middle income families would not actually experience an increase in their tax responsibility because of the increase in that standard deduction.
How do you compare to the other candidates that have also thrown their name into the race?
Well, look, this is a debate that is, you know, going to unfold over the next several months. I have enormous professional respect and affection for Danielle Allen. I do not know. Ben Downing and I used to serve together in the Senate. I think he is a fantastic human being and a big brain. So I'm looking forward to being on the campaign trail with them. I think that I bring to this race a 12-year record of being able to score wins and real policy changes that are going to affect the lives of real people from Boston to Worcester to Springfield on things that people said were impossible when we got started, right? With the Student Opportunity Act, people said that was pie in the sky when we started. And the Baker-Polito administration said unrealistic. And then fast forward, you know, through a five-year campaign of dragging the governor to the altar on that one, we got it done. And Springfield will be the single biggest benefiting school district in the state on the Student Opportunity Act. That's going to infuse millions of new dollars into their ability to do right by Springfield kids.
We are in our conversation with Massachusetts Governor hopeful Senator Sonia Cheng Diaz. The seven-term politician comes from a successful family of first, and she herself has easily won each of her elections since taking office. So, and another thing, wanted to know if she feels the pressure on her current journey.
Your father was the first Latino astronaut for NASA. What do you think is harder, becoming an astronaut or running for governor?
Oh, becoming an astronaut. and not just becoming an astronaut, but, you know, against the odds that he faced, right? The coming to immigrating to the United States as a 17 or 18 year old with $50 in his pocket and not so good English, you know, he was not a likely candidate for success. And that informs my work every day, right? I've seen up close and personal exactly what is possible when we set our minds to things. And so when I look at the, you know, things like the challenge of adequately funding our public education system or building a 21st century transit system, you know, greening our economy and building jobs while we're doing it, those things, you know, seem eminently possible when I look at it up against the barriers that my dad had to overcome. And I also know that he didn't do it alone, right? He had the help of many people and many systems along the way, systems that have frayed. And we need to restore those systems.
What do you think is harder, being a teacher or running for governor?
Ooh, that's a closer call. And God bless you for asking that question. I'm going to call it a draw. I mean, we'll see, right? Ask me in December of 2022 when I've gone through a full cycle of running for governor. But there are a lot of similarities I found between being a classroom teacher and being an elected public servant. You love your students even when they don't love you back, right? You serve all of them. Even when they're having a bad day. And as a governor, you serve all of the Commonwealth, right? Regardless of whether people voted for you or not.
You said that your father had systems that helped him and people to support him. Who's helped you and supported you?
Mom and dad factored very large, you know, for me in those formative experiences. My dad really showing me firsthand what it is like to overcome obstacles and what is possible against long odds. For my mom, she's a social worker and she's a woman of profound faith. And those were huge influences for me growing up and has really anchored me in the people that government needs to see and needs to serve. And then I was extremely fortunate to be the beneficiary of a first-class public education growing up. My mom worked hard, you know, as a single parent with some privilege, but not a lot of money to move us to Newton, which, you know, for folks in Western Mass, they might not be familiar, but, you know, is a mostly white, wealthy suburb with an incredibly well-funded and well-run school system. And I will never forget all that school system set me up for in terms of success in life. And I wanted to pay that debt forward when I, you know, as a young adult, when I graduated from college, and that really set me on the path of public service.
So mom and dad are proud.
I think so. Yeah. People want somebody in the corner office who can get things done. And that is a record that I bring to this race.
That was Senator Sonia Chang-Diaz joining us for our in-depth conversation. She currently represents the 2nd Suffolk District. She was the first Latina elected to the Massachusetts Senate, and she is now running for governor of Massachusetts.
Thanks for tuning in to our conversation. You too can join in. Give us a call at 800-639-9120. I'm Dara Kennedy.
You can find us on social media at Hello and Another, or email us at andanotherthing@nepm.org. I'm Maya Schwader. Be sure to tune in tomorrow.